the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, and sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You may be seated. I want to mention something to you, kind of a challenge. It's something I do occasionally, and I'm in the midst of it right now. The book of Proverbs is what I would consider a very practical book of the Bible. When you start reading a lot of books of the Bible, some of them are stories, some of them are laws. There's some of them that there's intricacies that you have to read several times, even sometimes, to understand what's going on, allow the Spirit to speak to you in that way. But Proverbs isn't that way. Proverbs is just pretty straightforward, practical. And I would challenge you, one of the things, just because of the nature of what Proverbs is and how it's laid out, there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And there are usually 30 or 31 days in each month of the year. February is a little weird. But I would challenge you, at least occasionally, I would suggest at least once a year, go through the book of Proverbs. And it's easy. I love the fact that you just choose whatever day it is. For example, if you wanted to start today, and in Proverbs, you don't necessarily need to start at the beginning to get the gist of it. If you were going to start today and take this as your month you want to do it, start with Proverbs chapter 7. Today is the 7th of August. And just continue that until you get back there. And in a month, you will have read that entire book of the Bible. And you'll have a tremendous amount of wisdom, truly, from what you have read. And I want to kind of exemplify that this morning. It says here in those first 7 verses, it gives a reason as to why the book of Proverbs is an important book for us to take notice of. And we're going to go through each of those. And what I did is I read through the 7 chapters several times this week. I kind of picked out where these things I felt like fit with each of these 7 verses when it talked about things like it was something that you could gain wisdom and instruction by, something for receiving instruction for prudent behavior, and just on and on. So we're going to talk about that, and I'm guessing if you pay attention, I'm not going to share anything about this that doesn't come almost word for word from the Scripture. But I want you to realize that you can do the same thing. You could have more or less written the sermon this morning if you had just taken time and done what I think we're going to be sharing together this morning, and then I'll have a little bit to elaborate on each one of those. But as we start, the first thing the Scripture says is that Proverbs provides wisdom and instruction, teaches us how to live well and live right. So I'm not going to necessarily go through and tell you where each of these is at verse and chapter in the 7 chapters, but I'm going to share them with you. I promise they're there. You read through the 7 chapters, you'll find it. If you want to know exactly where it is, come to me and I'll tell you. But I think it would get laborious for me to tell you where every little thing I'm going to share comes from today. But in terms of wisdom and instructions and things we can see in Proverbs, here are 3 things. 1, do not give in to sinful men or women. Do not give in to sinful men or women. And I almost asked Caleb and Noah if they would share this, what this meant this morning, because it was part of the devotion that we just happened to have last night. And it was a story that went along with the devotion that we shared, and it was about this boy who, he told his mom that he didn't want to go with her to visit some neighbors. And he didn't want to go, and he told his mom he was sick. He wasn't feeling well. Well, the mom said that, well, the neighbor's going to be upset. I think his name was Jeff or Joe. Whoever his friend was about that same name. He's going to be disappointed if you don't go. But if you don't feel well, just stay here, stay in the house and rest until I get back. He said, okay. Well, he's sitting there talking to his dog, and he said, you know, Buster, whatever the dog's name was, he said, I am sick. You know what I'm sick of? I'm sick of Jeff. I'm sick of him because every time I go over there, he beats me at everything we play. And then more than that, he runs faster than I do, and I don't like it. And so I'm sick. I'm sick of him. Well, another friend comes over to the house and invites him to go fishing with him. Well, he's thinking, it's mighty hot outside, probably 105 degrees in the shade, but you know, fishing sounds fun, so he got his tackle box and his fishing rod, and he went figuring he'll be back before his mom gets back. Well, they get there, and it's so hot, they aren't catching anything. So they decide they're going to wade into the water. They wade in, and it feels really good because of how hot it is. So they go a little bit deeper, and they go a little bit deeper, and before long, he sinks because he gets to a hole, and his friend starts yelling, swim, swim! He pops back up, and sure enough, he swims to the shore and gets out covered with mud, just wet from head to toe, miserable. Gets back home. His mom's already there. Well, won't tell you what transpired between the time then until nighttime, but at nighttime they had a conversation, and the mom said, you know, what you did today is how sin works. You start off with something that doesn't seem like it's going to be that bad. It doesn't seem like there's a big problem with it. But just like that water, you dip your toe in the shallow end, and it seems safe enough, but then you get coaxed further and further in, and before you know it, you're in over your head. That's how sin works. So, the scripture that says, do not give in to sinful men or women, it isn't talking about this big, horrible person that wants you to come and do something. It can be a good friend who's just inviting you to do something that you just kind of know really isn't what you're supposed to do. But before long, that leads to something else, and that leads to something else, and that leads to something else. But Scripture says that if you stick to wisdom, if you understand what wisdom is and you embrace that, you won't be as likely to give in to those temptations because you will understand the danger of it even in the shallow end. Well, another thing that Proverbs says, it says, repent from foolish ways and recognize wisdom. All of us do things that aren't very intelligent. All of us do things that we shouldn't. And we need to recognize that. And we need to truly seek to be someone different. And we ask God to do that. And when we do, then we can more easily recognize wisdom. And Scripture says, it says in Proverbs, that as a result of having this wisdom, you can have a prolonged life, peace, and prosperity. I'm not going to elaborate on what all that is. That's just what it says in the Scripture. Sermons could be preached on that in and of itself, but that's what Scripture says. Then the last one under wisdom and instruction I decided to include was the Scripture says that we should seek wisdom as for hidden treasure, and you will find. Now, the part that stuck out to me this time was as for hidden treasure. If you're somewhere, and think about a kid in a sandbox, and you put something under there, and they're looking for it. How do they look for it? Do they just go in the sandbox, look, nope, nothing there, or maybe kick a little bit of sand, nope, nothing there. No, they get down hands and knees and dig and dig and run around and sand's going everywhere. They're looking for it. We're to yearn for wisdom and we're to desire it in that way as though we're looking for a hidden treasure. Not that God's trying to hide it from us, but sometimes we're so distracted by the things around us, we have to yearn for it and look for it in that way in order to find it. But if we search for it, we will find it. Scripture says so. So that's wisdom and instruction. The next one that the Scripture mentions that Proverbs provides is insight. Insight to understand what life means and where it's going. Three things that I picked up from Proverbs here in the first seven chapters. One is that love and faithfulness should be a part of our lives. Now you think about, what is love and faithfulness to you? How do you understand that? There's love and faithfulness both with God and with our fellow man. And the Scripture says that if you have those, if you live in this way, you will have a good reputation with God and with man. That's what the Scripture says. How many people do you know that really have a good reputation? Do you have a good reputation? Faithfulness and love, according to Scripture, are keys to that. Another one, in terms of insight, it says we're to honor God with our wealth. In what ways are you wealthy? Every one of us here is. Some of us may have more money than others. Some of us may feel like we have no money, but that's not the only type of wealth that's being talked about here. But it includes that. So don't go saying, well, I can give my wealth of this and keep all my money. That's not what it's about. All of the wealth that God gives, we're supposed to honor God with that wealth. It's God's anyway, not ours. And Scripture says if we do that, we will receive a blessing. And it's been said over and over, and it's true. You cannot outgive God. God wants us to give to Him, not because God needs it, but because God wants to bless us, and God doesn't want the things that He gives us, allows us to have, to take control of us. God wants that place. So that's why that's wisdom. That's why we're to honor God with our wealth and not get caught up on thinking it's our own. Third one here, sure-footedness. How many of you, and you don't need to answer out loud, but how many of you in the past week or so have been walking somewhere and just stumbled and tripped or fell? Or how many of you have been running? You ever been running in a track meet and fell down? Does that ever happen? Doesn't feel good, does it? That happens in life. But if you think about what causes that, a lack of wisdom is probably the biggest thing that causes us to stumble and fall. It talks in Scripture about other people causing us to stumble and fall, or us causing other people to stumble and fall. But if we had the wisdom we've already talked about, that can be prevented. Scripture says, in Proverbs it says, that there can be sure-footedness if you have wisdom, that we can walk and not be hampered, that we can run and not stumble. Now, it doesn't mean that that's never going to happen because we're not perfect, but if we seek wisdom, it's going to happen a lot less. And you can take it from Brian. Stumbling while you're running doesn't feel good. And the same is true in life. God doesn't want that to happen in the way it often does. And so He wants us to seek wisdom. Thirdly, a manual for being right and fair. And I've described this as a manual for living. First thing it said in Proverbs I picked out here is, don't take what doesn't belong to you. That's what it says. And it seems like common sense. You know that. Anybody would say, don't take what doesn't belong to you. That's in the Bible. That's scriptural. Now, don't take what belongs to you. Well, what does that really mean? It means don't take what doesn't belong to you. If you see a pencil laying somewhere and you know that pencil is somewhere else, don't take it and put it in your pocket. I don't care if it didn't cost but 8 cents. If you know whose it is, you get it back to them. If you don't know who it is, you try to get it back to them. Whether it's a pencil, whether it's a wallet with $362 in it. If it's not yours, don't take it. That's what Scripture says. And I didn't write it in here, but that Scripture goes on to say, anybody that tries to receive ill-gotten gain is not going to turn out good. If you're trying to take some that doesn't belong to you and use it for your benefit, that doesn't usually work out well. And it says so in Scripture. Secondly here, care for your neighbor. Scripture just says that. Care for your neighbor. Example of that, if you haven't already looked in the insert that we have, this is about things that the Baptist General Association of Virginia have done in West Virginia to care for our neighbor. We're in the midst as a church praying about and discerning if this is something specifically we might be called to be involved in as well. So I invite you to do that. Be praying about it if you feel that God's leading this church, or how that may happen, and you reading this at some point may help you. But God calls us, and it says it in the book of Proverbs. It's not just something you do because you're a nice person. God says, even as a part of wisdom, it's just a wise thing to do to help your neighbor. And thirdly, under being right and fair, I want to talk about the mouth. Scripture says Don't say two different things. Don't say one thing to one person and one thing to another. You know people that do that. What happens when people start doing that? They do it, and sometimes they intend it to be harmless. It doesn't really matter what I've said. I just don't want this person to be upset with me, or I want this person to like me better. So they say two different things, and it didn't seem harmful. But if there's someone that finds out that you've said this here and this here, what does your word mean to them? Nothing. So don't say one thing one time and one thing the next. Be true. Also with the mouth. It says that mouth is not to be perverse or corrupt. Now that can mean a lot of different things. So I looked at some different verses, some different versions of the Bible. And there's a lot of different things, but these are some things that one of the things that came up with was it was translated as banter. Well, then I don't use banter in my language every day, so I looked up banter to see what banter was. And it's defined in the dictionary as teasing. Now, it doesn't say teasing in the Bible, but as I begin to study on this and think about it, and again, it doesn't say teasing in the Bible. It says one version of it says that there should not be perverse speaking or corruptness come out of your mouth. One version of the Bible does say banter. But then I started thinking about this whole teasing thing. And you've got to allow you and God to work this out, what it means. And that's what happens with Scripture. The Holy Spirit speaks through the Scripture. But I can't tell you the number of times in working with young people, particularly, but it doesn't happen with just young people. I've heard it with adults, too. They'll say something, and it really hurts somebody else. And you know what their out is? I was just kidding. And so that's supposed to make everything okay. That doesn't take that person's hurt away. Occasionally, when someone does that and they really were kidding, they'll go back and they'll try to make amends with that person and let them know what they meant. But you know, what strikes me is more times than not, the person will say, "But I was just kidding," and they do it defensively, and they never even say, "I'm sorry." If they were just kidding and they didn't mean to hurt the person and they hurt a brother or sister in Christ, or even if they weren't in Christ, they hurt someone else. If it really was kidding, the first thing they're going to do is go back and make it right. But they don't. That's what the mouth can do. And we try to excuse it as no big deal. So to me, perverse, corrupt, banter, teasing, there's a language there. Also mentions in the Scripture there should be no lies, and it even says white lies. It doesn't just say lies. The Scripture itself says white lies. What's a white lie? It's a lie that's not really supposed to make a difference. Scripture says that's not supposed to come out of your mouth. You know why? It goes back. It's all connected. It's just like that sin in the shallow end. You step in the shallow end, it's okay. It's not going to hurt you. You just got your toe in, it's not a big deal. But if you start with the white lie, then another one can be sort of a shade of white, and you keep going, and before long, you're in deeper than you ever thought. And then the last one that it mentions in Proverbs in terms of the mouth is that gossip should never come out of your mouth. And you know what that is. Well then, move on. There was a word that just kept popping up in this Scripture. The next one is prudence. So I said, okay, I've got to make sure that we understand what prudence is and what it's all about. I looked up the word prudence in the dictionary. It says acting with or showing care and thought for the future. Acting with or showing care and thought for the future. And so I connected that with another thing it said in the Scripture. It talked about the young person. So I just described this as teaching the ropes to new believers and giving the young a grasp on reality. These are things that come in the first seven chapters of Proverbs. One, it says, obey your parents. It's not only in the Ten Commandments. Obey your parents. Listen to your parents. It doesn't mean the parents are always right. It doesn't mean they're never going to make mistakes, but they have experience and they love you. And more times than not, they want what's best for you, even if it doesn't feel that way. And Scripture tells us we're supposed to pay attention. Another one it says is that we're to love our wives or our husbands, and don't take them for granted. Scripture says that. Do not take your husband or wife for granted. Don't raise your hand. But all of you who are in here who are married, how many of you can honestly say that you didn't take your spouse for granted this week? The scripture says you're not to take them for granted. Now, don't go and show this scripture to your spouse and beat them over the head with it. It's intended for you to take notice first and for you to take action and for them to learn from you. So don't go back and browbeat somebody that's not here today and say, this is what the preacher said. But it is what the Bible says, but I'm speaking to you, not the spouse that's not here. Another thing that the scripture says, and this also relates to husbands and wives, no one who commits adultery will go unpunished. Scripture says it. Just what it says, black and white. No one who commits adultery will go unpunished. And then finally, and I like this one, wisdom is equal to sound sleep. Wisdom is equal to sound sleep. And it says that in the scripture. Now, I spent some time on this because it didn't mesh it out in the scripture for me. So I'm trying to think, okay, God, what is this talking about? What do you mean? And I was reminded of a story that I heard about a farmhand who came, and he had told the people here that he was going to help, that he was a good farmhand and he had experience and he would serve them well if they paid him a fair wage. And so they did. And then one night, in the middle of the night, this storm comes up, this horrible storm with wind and rain and hail and everything. It was horrible. And everybody in the house woke up except the farmhand. And finally, they went and they shook him up and they shook him and they said, but there's a storm. You got to get up. We got to get everything taken care of. We got to run. And he said, no, it's all taken care of because I made sure everything was taken care of before I laid down to go to sleep. The people didn't believe him. So they went out in the rain and the wind and looked, and everything was just fine. Because he had taken care of it. He had closed the barn doors. He had tied down the things that needed to be tied down. And so he was able to sleep through the storm in comfort because he had done what he knew he was supposed to do. The same thing happens in life. Storms are going to come and go in life, and there's some people that stay awake all hours of night concerning themselves with the storms, and sometimes you can't do anything about it. Sometimes you could have. And so you need to pay attention to how God leads so you can have that peacefulness that allows you to sleep differently. It's not an analogy, it's true. And then the last one, additional learning. Kind of the subtitle I gave for this is Proverbs for the wise and experienced as well. There's always something to learn. So my thing with this is you read through Proverbs. Don't just read through it once. Read through Proverbs. That's why I said I would suggest doing it at least once a year because it's rich. And you can't understand, you can't get everything out of it in one reading, even though it is fairly simple and practical. And by the way, your life is going to change. You're going to change, and you're going to need to hear things differently at different times. So, three more things. One is the scripture says to trust God and your path will be straight. Trust God and your path will be straight. If I ask you, and that sounds like, Greg, you're just tacking some on at the end of the sermon. What does trust God really mean? Everybody in here, if you don't trust God here, raise your hand. All right, everybody here trusts God. So why did I even say that? Let me give you this test. I actually did this. I taught this story in chapel this week with the kids downstairs. And we started off with a trust fall. I'm not going to do that in here. I already looked at Linda, and I'm not going to do it. But a trust fall is, and all the kids said that they trusted me. Every single one of them, without hesitation. I said, okay, come stand up here. Now, I'm going to catch you. I want you to fall back and not move your foot. And my hand wasn't but about this far from their back. Half of them couldn't even do that. And then if they did that, then I put a little bit further. I said, don't move your feet. I'm going to catch you. You said you trust me. And I asked them every time, do you trust me? And they always said yes. But only three actually got the second one down. Then only one caught the third time when I really let it go down further. Well, there's a story in the Bible about a character, a man named Ananias. Ananias proved how much he trusted God. Because there was this guy named Saul that was a bad dude. And he didn't like the Christians. He didn't like anybody that had anything to do with Jesus. And he killed them. Many of them. A lot of them. Well, all of a sudden, God appears to Ananias and says, Ananias, I want you to go to this place and I want you to see this guy named Saul. He said, hold on, wait a minute. I've heard about this Saul before and I know what he does and I know what he does to people in your name. I know you're God, but are you sure that this we're talking about the same person? Is this what you want me to do? Where you want me to go? He said, yes. I prepared his heart and he's expecting it. Go. I asked the children in chapel, would you go? Some of them said, nope. Because they weren't in giving the Sunday school answers. They were giving the truthful answers. If you were Ananias, would you trust God enough to go in that situation? If you trust God, he will make straight your path. And it's not that you simply trust God a little bit. The more you trust God, the more responsibility, the more opportunity God gives you. There are greater things for you to do. Trust is not something you ever reach the end of. You continue to grow. So no matter how old you are, no matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how experienced, you can always grow in your trust. And God will give you opportunity to prove that. And it will make your path straight in the way that it needs to be and provide wisdom and example for others. Two more. Don't resent God's discipline. God's going to discipline us because we're going to make mistakes. And he does it for the same reason a parent does. He cares for us. He loves us. And so don't resent that. Recognize it. Embrace it. Grow from it. And then the last thing, and I felt like I couldn't pass these up. I'm not really going to comment on them. But in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning with verse 16, it lists six things that the Lord hates and seven that are detestable to him. And this is what it says. That's what it says. There are six things the Lord hates. If you're still looking at Proverbs 6, beginning with 16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable. First is haughty eyes. And I looked that up to make sure I was talking about the right thing. Haughty eyes just mean you're arrogant and you think you're better than somebody else. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Black and white in the Bible. If you looked at it, you're reading it yourself. I'm going to ask the praise team to come on up. I hope you've understood what the book of Proverbs has to offer this morning. It's so insightful. It's a great place just to understand life. I was talking with Charles Umbarger a month or so ago, and he said, Greg, I'm thinking that Proverbs pretty much is just takes the whole Bible and puts it into one place because so much of what the Bible's talked about in other places is referred to here, and he's right. And it's simple and it's easy to understand. And my guess is if your heart was open, there were at least one or two things that pinged you this morning. That God said, this is where I want you to pay attention. And I pray that we do. But more than that, it's not just something that's about us. As we begin to live our lives in this way, and if we understand it, Scripture, we understand it comes from God. We talked about that a lot of it is common sense and it makes sense. In fact, you don't take something that doesn't belong to you. But it's different when you're just thinking that's a not right thing to do that people should learn versus it's a commandment that comes from God in the book of Proverbs. There's different ways. And so there are going to be people that are going to come to you. There are going to be people that are going to look up to you. There are going to be people that want to have conversations with you. There are going to be people that need to make decisions in life. And they're going to come to you. And they're going to come to you in part if you have the wisdom to be able to point them in the right direction. Proverbs is a powerful book. and it's not that difficult. If you struggle with reading Scripture, but you really want to, this is one I would encourage you to start on now. God has a lot to share. If there's anything God wants you to do this morning in terms of taking a stand, I invite you to pray about that where you are. I will pray with you. The altar's open. You can put a stake into the ground and say, God, this is something I know and I'm supposed to be doing, and it's going to change, and I'm giving myself to you for it. Whatever it is, whatever God's doing, however he's moving, respond now as we sing How Great Is Our God.